Good morning, Reveal, and welcome. Glad that you're here. My name is Marty. I'm one of the pastors. Thanks for joining us online. Lots of stuff starting to go on today that I want you to be aware of. Make sure you check out revealvineyard.com and click on the Happening Now button so you can browse through the bulletin so you are up to speed on everything. A few things I want to draw your attention to is we have a women's Bible study that is coming up that is specifically for the Christmas season. A Savior is Born starts on November 25th. You can sign up at revealvineyard.com/women's to get more information. Someone will be in touch with you. Great opportunity for you to kind of gear up for the Christmas season. Sow into yourself. It is so important. Also, remember that we are doing Thanksgiving boxes for the community. We already have 76 people signed up to receive them. That means we need at least 76 boxes to give out. We have not even put up the banner yet on the side of the road advertising it. 76 people signed up through our food drop that we did on the first Saturday of the month where we gave out food to the community. So once that banner goes up, we're going to need well beyond that number. So if you can help, you can sign up online. You can come by during the week. We'll give you a box and the list of everything that is needed to make that happen. This is one way that we serve the community together. It is an all-skate in the all-skate direction. That means in order for this to be successful, the entire church needs to be involved. Also, we are looking for volunteers to help assemble the Thanksgiving food boxes on Monday, the 23rd. And so if you can come down starting at about 3 o'clock, we will have just supplies that will still need to be put in a box. Plus, we will be passing them out to the community. If you speak Spanish, we can especially use your ability. And you can sign up for that in the bulletin as well. Also, be aware that we have India Angel Tree going on around Christmas time. We provide Christmas gifts for some of the children that we minister to in India. If you don't know, we have a school over there that we started, and we pay for the teachers and the curriculum, pay the rent and all of those types of things. And so every Christmas, we want to bless them. And then we kind of expand that a little bit. We go out into the community. Usually it's anywhere from 80 to 100 kids, somewhere in there. And so again, to make that happen, we are asking that you would participate in that. You can make that donation online at revealvineyard.com. Click on the Give button. There is a little link that says India Angel Tree. Really important for me to let you know, or remind you if you haven't noticed, we do not ask for a lot of extra giving beyond your regular tithe. That's just not who we are here. There are three things that we'll typically ask you to give towards, and that is supplying food for the snack packs that we give to the children in the local Title I schools. We'll ask that you would help with the Thanksgiving food box, and we'll ask that you would help with India Angel Tree. Other than that, I don't like coming to you with a bunch of other projects and things like that, but we will ask that you would jump on board, all skate in the all skate direction, and help your church accomplish those goals. And then also, we have a blood drive coming up on December 5th, on Saturday. And so if you are able to come down and give blood, you can sign up for that at bloodhero.com, and then click on the Find a Donation Center, and then put in Reveal Church, all one word, code word Reveal Church, all one word, and then it will pull up the information, and you can register for a time slot. Again, it would be great if that's something we could do. Costs you nothing, but it is a gift of life for someone who needs it. And then finally, this Tuesday, we're doing Christmas decorations. If you are able, come on down, help us put up some decorations, 10 o'clock on Tuesday, and we're going to get the place ready for Christmas. All right, well, we are now approaching the end of our I Believe series. I think we'll have 2 weeks left. We have been unpacking the ancient confession of faith known as the Apostles' Creed, where for some two millennia, followers of Christ, men and women who are followers of Christ, confessed this creed as their statement of faith or their declaration as to what they believe. Now, today we're going into a new topic. We're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. A lot to discuss today, so hang on, stay awake, and try to keep up. Let's talk about some of the basics to start with. Who is the Holy Spirit? First thing to understand, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God. Now, it starts to get a little odd here, but it does say that the Holy Spirit is God, part of what is known as the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, Scripture says, has thoughts, it has a will, it can love, or he can love, and can also be grieved. And so this idea is that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God, part of the Trinity. That means that there are three gods, but one God. Let me try to explain that a little better. There are three persons of God, but one God. I know it's difficult to explain, and we really can't fully get our mind around it. The idea is that the Bible teaches that the Father is God, and the Bible also teaches that Jesus is God, and the Bible also teaches that the Holy Spirit is God. But we don't worship three separate gods. We worship one God in three persons. We'll never fully going to get it this side of heaven. But the idea is that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God, that all three are God, but only one God, three coexistent, co-equal, co-eternal persons that make up the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I think we naturally grasp the idea of God the Father, right? We have a father or we are a father. We get the idea of what a father should be like. I think we also grasp the idea of God the Son. Maybe you are a son. You have a son, or you have a sibling who is a son. We get the idea that the son reflects the image of the father. But then there is this other guy, the Holy Spirit. And we're not quite sure what to do with him. And so often he's overlooked or he's ignored altogether. Which brings up a really interesting question. Can we live an effective Christian life without the Holy Spirit? Can we live and express a vibrant faith without the Holy Spirit? Years ago, I had a string of bad luck with some palm trees in our backyard. And they were probably 7 years old. And then one by one, they began to die. And there was one palm tree that I would not give up on. And I was sure that if I just took care of it properly, that I could nurture it back to health. And so I increased water, I decreased water, I fertilized, I sprayed the fungicide on it, and everything to try to make this thing come back to life or to breathe health back into it. It had one little yellow brownish shoot that kind of came out the top, pretty thick, but just one that came out the top. And one day I was working in the backyard and I leaned up against this palm tree, and to my surprise, the entire palm tree, pretty thick, the entire thing fell over. Now look, I'm not a small man, but I shouldn't knock over a palm tree just by leaning up against it. And what I discovered was that there was no root to it. It was already dead. There was no life in it. And I think this is kind of what life is, the Christian experience is, without the Holy Spirit. There's no depth. There's no roots. There's no support. There's no life. I mean, think about it. Without the Holy Spirit, my faith operates on my resources. Without the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us that we have no assurance of salvation. We have no internal conviction of sin. Without the Holy Spirit, I am left to transfer my own life to look more like Jesus, which we know is impossible. Without the Holy Spirit, I cannot even understand Scripture. Without the Holy Spirit, I'm left to navigate life on my own. My entire faith expression is energized and would be maintained purely by me without the Holy Spirit being evident in my life. And perhaps this is why prior to the crucifixion, while speaking to his disciples, Jesus made a very odd statement, where he said that he was going to be leaving them soon, but it was actually to their advantage that he will leave them. We see it in John 16, verse 5. He says, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." And so what we know is happening, Jesus is telling about his crucifixion. And of course, then we know of the resurrection, and then after time, he was ascended back into heaven to be with the Father. And he's kind of foretelling what is about to take place, and the disciples are freaking out because all of their hope, all of their trust was placed in Jesus as the Messiah. And if he leaves, right, it's all up in the air. There's nothing left. And so he goes on in verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, It is for your good. Other translation says, it is to your advantage. Now understand, the disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. And now Jesus says, it is actually for your good. It is to your advantage that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor, now other translations say the advocate, the helper, the comforter, the guide, all different translations, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. This is quite amazing. Hear what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He's saying, if given the choice between me being with you or the Holy Spirit being in you, Jesus said, choose the Holy Spirit in you. Which would be difficult for his disciples to grasp hold of. They're like, well, Jesus, come on, it's been a good 3 years. I mean, blind eyes were opened, and we saw demons dealt with. And you remember that time you fed 5,000 people with 2 Filet-O-Fish sandwiches? Remember that one, Jesus? That was awesome. It's like, Jesus, we saw all of these things take place, and dead came back to life, and the kingdom of God was made evident among us, and the kingdom was there. And now you're saying all that was great, but now it's all coming to an end because you have to leave us. What Jesus was saying is, look, you don't realize it yet, but it's actually better for you that I go away, because when I leave, another will come. It's not me who is with you. There will be another who will come that will actually be in you. Jesus says, you don't realize it, but it's to your advantage that I'm going to give you exactly what you need to live out your new faith. The Holy Spirit, the counselor, the advocate, the helper, the comforter will come to you. Earlier in chapter 14, he's trying to get his disciples to understand what he's talking about. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Again, here's the words, comforter, counselor, advocate, to be with you forever. Now understand what is being said. I will give another, meaning I'll give another one who is just like me, helper, comforter, counselor, advocate. Why is there such difficulty in translating this word? Well, it's for that reason. It's difficult to translate into English. And the idea is that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be several things. We could look at it this way, that whatever it is that you need, the Holy Spirit will be that to you. And so if you need a comforter, he will be your comforter. If you need a helper, he will be your helper. If you need a counselor, he will counsel. If you need an advocate, he will fight for you. The word is actually paraclete. It means one who is called to one side, especially called to one's aid. That Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to be there to accomplish everything in you that needs to be accomplished. But without the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you can't do it. If I just remain with you, then God's purpose for you will not be accomplished, because you need more than just me with you. You need the Holy Spirit that will in fact be in you. Continue with our passage here. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you for how long? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, to whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, for he dwells with you and will be, there it is again, will be in you. Notice, it's him and he. It's not, the Holy Spirit is not some force or some mist or aura out there. This isn't Star Wars, may the force be with you. That's a personal being, him, he, and he will do what? He will dwell in you. And how long will he dwell in you? He will dwell in you forever. And this is what Jesus is building on. This idea that it's better for you that I leave, because when I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. This is why when early Christians were asked, where is your temple? When early Christians were asked, where must we go to worship your God? Where is the mountaintop experience, or where do you make your pilgrimage? The early Christians would say, there isn't one. They said that we are the temple, that the Spirit of God, they said, actually dwells in us. Now, this was a radical idea, because every religion had a place where they went to worship. They had a temple. They had a holy site. And yet here, now Christians are saying, we are the temple. And this is, in fact, what Scripture says. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you? We have no temple. I am the temple. You are the temple. Together, the Holy Spirit is in us. We are the temple. It's quite beautiful, the idea of what the Holy Spirit does when he comes into us. And it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live out our faith. That it's not our own resolve, we just don't simply try harder, that we are empowered by the Spirit that lives in us. We do not navigate the challenges of life alone. We are not abandoned to limp through life and just wait for the sweet release of death. We have a counselor who guides us. We have a helper who gives aid, an advocate that fights for us, a comforter who sustains under the weight of trial and all sorts of pressure. This is the paraclete. This is the Spirit. Whatever it is that you need at this moment, the Holy Spirit will be that to you. It is better. It is to your advantage that I leave, because what is better than me being with you, Jesus said, is the Holy Spirit being in you. Look at John 16, 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. All right, thank God for progressive revelation, that he reveals things to us in stages. If he dropped everything on us at once, it'd be too much to bear. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is your inside man for all things spiritual, right? That he hears, and then he repeats back. Right? He does not speak on his own. He hears and he relays the information to you. If you want inside wisdom and guidance and direction, it's available to all followers of Christ. It is at our disposal. He is the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we need to know today. The Holy Spirit has something to say to you. The Holy Spirit has something he wants to speak into your life. You may be confused right now. You may be struggling about something. You may be at a fork in the road or a point of indecision. The Holy Spirit has something to say if you are willing to listen. The Holy Spirit has something to say if you are willing to listen. Listen, you'll start winning if you start listening. I firmly believe that. If you start listening for the Holy Spirit and then saying yes, you'll start winning. Life will begin to change. Things will begin to turn. You'll start winning if you start listening. The difference between defeated me and victorious me is listening and led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because we know that our lives are a reflection of the voices that we listen to. Whichever voice has the most influence, we are a reflection of that voice. Two voices are competing for our future. Parents, we know this. It's why when our children were younger, we would not allow them to be around certain children, right? That child, because we knew that their voice would have influence over their future. My children once told us that we are being very judgmental because we don't even know that child. And I said, oh, let me be straight with you. I know that child. Your mother was that child. No, I didn't say that part. But right, we all understand that whatever voice is loudest affects the trajectory of our lives. Well, how loud is the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you provided space for the Holy Spirit to speak and for the Holy Spirit to lead? Our lives today are a reflection of the voice we listen to. And so we need to learn and practice to listen to the Holy Spirit. We've just had more years and more practice listening to the flesh. But we can, in fact, learn to listen and be led by the voice of the Holy Spirit. If you can learn to hear your flesh when no one else is in the room, you can learn to listen and hear the voice of the Spirit. That's just the reality of it is. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some practice. But we can, in fact, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So how are we led by the Holy Spirit? Well, like all things, there are some things that we need to stop, and there are some things that we need to start. So let's explore what that looks like. If I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, number one, I cannot follow a culture that does not follow God. If I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I cannot follow a culture that does not follow God. Because we know this, that they're moving in opposite directions, right? The things of God and the things of culture, the things of the world, they're moving in opposite direction. Following culture will never lead you to a Jesus-centered life. It just will never happen. Culture will not lead you to look more like Jesus. Culture will not encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit. If you just pick up your feet and go with the drift of current, the current will always pull you away from righteousness, because the things of the world and the things of God are in opposition to one another. And so if we want to be led by the Spirit, we cannot follow a culture that does not follow God. It will one thing will drown out the other. Following culture will often cause us to ask the wrong question. For example, culture will tell you to ask the question, is it legal? Can I get away with it? Is anyone going to find out? Is it wrong in the eyes of culture? And depending on how we answer those things, we'll move forward with whatever we are thinking about doing. But being led by the Spirit is often not a question of right or wrong. Being led by the Spirit is often based on another question, and that is it wise? Look, if you want to be led by the Spirit, it's often not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of, is it wise? There are a lot of things that are technically not wrong, but they're also not wise. Look, if you're a married man, giving a female coworker a ride home, you're not going to find it in Scripture where it says, thou shalt not give her a ride home, right? We can't make the case of saying that it's wrong. It's not illegal. It's not wrong, but we also would say it's certainly not wise. And so if you want to be led by the Spirit, we have to start asking different questions. Culture asks right or wrong. The Spirit is going to have us start asking a different question. Is it wise? Learn to ask yourself this. In light of my past experiences and my current circumstances and future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Right? In light of what you're wanting out of your future, in light of what you've already been through, it's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do? Because your past is unique to you. And your future is unique to you. And your responsibilities are unique to you, right? Your hopes and your dreams are unique to you. What you want for your family or your future family is unique to you. So in light of your past and in light of where you're trying to go, start asking a different question. Not is it right or is it wrong, but start asking the question, is it wise? It will begin to steer you in a better direction. You will begin to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit when you can move out of right and wrong and move into, is it wise? See, what is the wise thing to do is a threatening question, because it forces me to acknowledge how I've lied to myself in the past. Right? We're all experts at deceiving ourselves. But when you begin to ask the Holy Spirit, what is the wise thing to do? The Holy Spirit allows us to begin to see through our smokescreen and our facade and begin to see reality. Look at Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is. Notice, his good, his pleasing, and perfect will. See, I think one reason that we're not led by the Spirit is because we're indoctrinated in culture. And if we're being conformed to culture, then the Spirit's voice is mute. That's why Scripture says, look, we have to be transformed. We have to step out of the pattern of culture if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God. All right, if I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I cannot follow a culture that does not follow God. And number two, I cannot follow friends who are not led by God. I know this one's difficult, right? And I won't spend a lot of time on it because you already know this, right? We teach our children this. Let me just ask a couple questions. Maybe ask yourself this. Are those closest to you pursuing what you claim is most important to you? Are those closest to you pursuing what you claim is most important to you? I think one of the reasons why we have such a difficult time hearing the Holy Spirit is because there's just too many competing voices around us. Look at Proverbs 13. Become wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. Sounds like something Mama would have said, right? Become wise with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. We could say it this way. In whatever community you're a part of, you are either getting stronger together or you are falling apart together. In whatever community you're a part of, you are either getting stronger together or you are falling apart together. Now, look at just one word in here. I cannot follow. In other words, I'm not suggesting that you get rid of all of your non-Christian friends. That's not what I'm suggesting. I am suggesting that you ask a question of follow. Who is leading who? When God was getting ready to release Jeremiah to speak into culture, God says something quite interesting to him. He said, you must influence them, culture. Do not let them influence you. And so really, this one here becomes a question of influence. Who is influencing who? If your friends who are non-Christians are the ones influencing you, then I will promise you, you are struggling to be led by the Holy Spirit right now because there are competing voices that are louder than the Holy Spirit in your life. Number three, if I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I cannot be led by circumstances. I cannot be led by circumstances. In other words, I think that too many times we have an experience and then we try to input God into that experience, right? Whatever that might look like. Here it looks like something like this. Like, I ran into my ex-girlfriend the other day out of the blue and it must be God who put us together, right? You're taking an experience and you're inserting God into that experience as if God ordained it to happen. And it's one way that we deceive ourselves into thinking that God blesses something when in fact it was just coincidence. It was just a circumstance and God has nothing to do with it, right? Or we saw each other from across a crowded room and it was just bow chicka wow wow, right? It was just like, it was electric, and it must be God who brought us together because I never felt like that about any. That doesn't necessarily have to be God. That can be hormones, all right? So we cannot just take circumstances and insert God into the circumstances and assume that it is God who is speaking through the circumstances, right? Hey, I slept through my alarm, and so God must not want me to go to work today, right? I know that sounds appealing, right? But it's a circumstance. We cannot build life on circumstances and assume that God is in them. Think of the story of Jonah, right? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance, and God didn't like the people there. He didn't like the culture. And so God told him to go to Nineveh. God told him to go east. And what happened? He caught a ship and went west, right? The opposite direction of Nineveh. Now, this is what Scripture tells us. He found a ship. There was space on the ship. He had money to buy a ticket. They sold him a ticket. Jonah could have easily said, God is in this because there was a ship, there's space, I had money, they sold me a ticket, God is in the circumstances, but God was not in the circumstances. Look, we can make ourselves believe whatever it is that we want to believe. This is the reason why we're so good at deceiving ourselves. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, we cannot insert God into every experience, every circumstance, and just convince ourselves that it is God ordained. Right? There's too much that can go awry there. Look at what Paul said in Acts 27. Paul said, they're about ready to set sail. He said, "Man, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damaging and great loss, not only cargo, but to the ship, but also for our lives. And when a moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had gained their purpose," other translations say that when the wind started, they assumed this is what the universe wanted for them, right? When the wind started, this is what they wanted, and they assumed that there was a blessing upon them when the wind started. But if you know the rest of the story, there was a massive storm that came, and there was a shipwreck. Again, this is how we deceive ourselves. Because we believe through circumstances that we have gained our purpose or that God has aligned something for us, when in fact, it's just coincidence. It's just a circumstance. Now, can the Holy Spirit speak through circumstances? Absolutely. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. But do not deceive yourself. In other words, do not fall victim to what is known as frequency illusion. Right? Frequency illusion is after you buy a car, you'll begin to see that car everywhere. Because it's been registered in your brain, and now your brain will alert you to every car that you see that is the same color or the same style as yours. The human mind strives to identify patterns in the chaos of daily life and uses confirmation bias to affirm our decisions. In other words, oftentimes, it's just frequency illusion. Right? You may think that it's God who is in it because you're thinking about moving to Colorado, and the next morning you woke up and right in front of you at the red light is a car with a Colorado license plate. It has to be God, when in fact, it may just be frequency illusion. I'm trying to get you to not deceive yourself because I've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. Frequency illusion. We insert God into the circumstances and assume the Holy Spirit is speaking when in fact, it's just a coincidence. It's just circumstances that are taking place. So, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I cannot be led by my circumstances, and I cannot be led by my feelings. I cannot be led by my feelings. Because why? Because our feelings lie. Emotions are temporary. You may be elated at Disneyland, but that feeling will not last. You may be riding high because your team won the big game, but those emotions will not last. You may be elated at the altar on your wedding day, and those feelings will last forever. My wife listened to this one, right? Feelings are temporary on both sides. And so let's recognize that. Let's recognize that our feelings cannot be trusted, that all because you feel something does not mean it is real. It does not mean it is true. Look at Jeremiah 17:9. It says the heart is what? Desperately sick. Meaning we cannot trust our own feelings because they will lead us astray. Look, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, there's some things you're going to need to stop doing. And then there are some things that you're going to need to start doing. Let's look at that. If I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I must be willing to be led. You say, well, why wouldn't I be willing to be led? Well, you may be surprised. I must be willing to be led. Look at Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, will guide you into all truth. He doesn't force you. He doesn't push you, doesn't pull you, doesn't tie you up and drag you, but he will guide you if you're guidable. Now, it's an important question we should all ask ourselves. Am I guidable? Am I guidable? Am I moldable? Will I listen and will I respond? Am I guidable to the things that the Holy Spirit speaks? Remember the old TV show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I think a lot of Christians play a different game called, are you smarter than the Holy Spirit? And I think the answer for a lot of us is yes. We think we're smarter than the Holy Spirit. Now, we wouldn't say that with our words, but we do communicate that with our actions, right? If it comes down between me and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to choose my way of thinking, my insight, because on some level, I think I am smarter than the Holy Spirit. Listen, I'm not trying to beat you up. But if you find yourself repeatedly in crisis that you put yourself in, then the problem might be you are not guidable, right? That when you're at odds with the things of God, you've already determined that if you and God do not see eye to eye, your default is you. So be honest with yourself. Are you guidable? I hope you are. Look at number two. If I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, or number six, I'm sorry, I must be willing to say yes. In other words, decide today what your response will be tomorrow. Decide today that whatever it is that God asks, whatever it is the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that your answer is going to be yes. It's part of living a surrendered life. Decide today what tomorrow is going to look like. Decide today how you're going to respond tomorrow. Let your answer be yes. Galatians 2:20, where Paul says this, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live." Right? If it's no longer you, then how you respond tomorrow should be a little bit more narrowed, right? Because it's not you who are living, it's Christ who lives in you. But Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Decide today, it is no longer really even about you, that it is about Jesus who lives in you. It is about the Holy Spirit that is birthing something in you. It is about the Spirit of God that is leading and guiding you. And whatever the Spirit says, make your decision today that your answer will be yes. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I must consistently sow into the things of the Spirit. These are spiritual disciplines like prayer, right? You're going to have to spend some time communicating with God, both speaking and listening. Some good questions to wrestle with in prayer. Will whatever it is that you're wanting to do, will this cause me to compromise my faith? Be honest and listen for the answer. Will this weaken or harm my family? Be honest with yourself. Will this position me for future growth? Be honest with yourself. Right? What does that look like for you today? We need to be involved in Scripture, right? We have to be reading. We have to be meditating on Scripture. Meditating and memorizing Scripture, probably the single best spiritual discipline I've ever done in my life. Just meditating and memorizing Scripture. Listen, I have known far too many Christ followers over the years who spent so much time trying to hear a supernatural voice, right? They would go to prophetic conferences, and they would go to people to interpret dreams, and all of this an effort of trying to be led by the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes, they spent so much time listening for a voice that when they should have been looking for a verse. In other words, Scripture may have very well already spoken into what you're wrestling with. And so it doesn't need to be some divine voice or some prophetic move that's going to happen. It may already be in Scripture. Your answer may already be there. And so we're going to have to spend some time in Scripture, memorizing, meditating on it. But then also understand the idea of godly counsel. Not just any counsel, but godly counsel, that not anyone and everyone should have permission to speak into your life. You're going to have to find people who will give godly counsel to you. Proverbs is clear that without consultation, lives fall apart. But with godly consultation, with godly counselors, it succeeds. So you're going to have to position yourself to have people that can have godly input into your life. It's why groups are so important. And then the last idea is we're going to have to take time to listen. Because the Holy Spirit speaks more in silence than in striving. The Holy Spirit speaks more in rest than in restlessness. Remember in 1 Kings 19, when God spoke to Elijah, how did he do it? He spoke through a still, small voice. It wasn't because he wasn't powerful enough to shout it at him, but I think that sometimes God just wants to clear away the competing voices, and so he whispers to get us to tune in and to get us to listen. If we want to be led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to need to consistently sow into the things of the Spirit. Look at the next one. If I want to be led by the Spirit, I'm going to need to start or keep doing what I already know. What I mean by this is that continued revelation is often tied to obedience. And so if the Holy Spirit isn't speaking to you today, it might be because you did not obey the last thing he told you to do. And he may have kind of gone silent, waiting for you to say yes. Why give you new instructions before you followed his last instructions? And if you haven't heard anything, then my advice to you would be old orders or standing orders. That you continue to do the last thing that God told you to do. You continue to sow into the last thing that the Holy Spirit told you to sow into until you're sure. Right? Until you know the Holy Spirit has spoken, you've sought godly counsel on it, you've weighed it against Scripture, right? Because we know that he will never speak contrary to his word. And then once you're sure, then you can step and you can move. If I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, I must practice discernment. I must practice discernment. So maybe you're guidable, maybe you're seeking, and maybe you're listening, and you predetermined ahead of time that whatever the Holy Spirit says, your answer is going to be yes. Then when prompted by the Holy Spirit, you're going to need to use discernment. And one of the ways that we use that discernment is by weighing it against God's word. Because the Holy Spirit will never lead us to do anything that is contrary to God's word. Now listen, as your pastor, I just need to tell you, I see it far too often. We think that God gives special revelation or special permission to people to do what they want, when in fact God's word says something completely different. Listen, God loves you, but you're not so special that you get a separate revelation of God's truth. And so whatever you think the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, however the Holy Spirit is speaking, we filter that against God's word, because your impression, it might be wrong, right? Your impression, your dream may have been because of a late night Filiberto's run, right? It could be anything. And so we always want to take whatever we're receiving and we want to filter it against God's word, against godly counsel. The Holy Spirit always will testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will always guide us in a way that is consistent with the biblical character that we see, the character that we see of a biblical Jesus. He will always lead us that way, because that is what the Holy Spirit does, right? He promotes Christ. He will always lead us to Jesus. Now, with time and with practice, we can begin to learn and begin to understand how the Holy Spirit is speaking. We can begin to discern between the voice of God, the voice of the enemy, and the voice of ourselves, because they all sound different. Listen, for example, if the only time you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you is when he is confirming something that you want to do, it may not be the Holy Spirit. Right, if the Holy Spirit never comes to you and says no, that should be a concern to you. If the only time you hear is when the Holy Spirit is releasing you to do the very thing that you want to do, that should be a flag. Right? Because there's time the Holy Spirit comes along and says, I know you want to, it's just not wise, you shouldn't do it. Right? With practice and with time, we can begin to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, here's what I'm convinced of. The Holy Spirit has something to say to all of us. He wants to speak into your life. Whatever it is that you need today, the Holy Spirit is that for you. Whether you need a counselor, an advocate, whether you need a comforter, whatever it is that you need, the Holy Spirit is that. We need to begin to invite the Holy Spirit into the mundane areas of life. And just make that a regular invitation. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. when you wake up in the morning. Holy Spirit, come. Lead me and guide me today. Guide me into truth. Guide me into areas of risk at my school or at my job or throughout my day, that I would step into the moment that you're providing for me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, help me have ears to hear. The Holy Spirit wants to speak into your life today at this moment. And if you are at the crossroads, I promise you the Holy Spirit wants to speak. And for some of you, even as this message went on, the Holy Spirit spoke to you and it wasn't something that you wanted to hear and you pushed him away. For some of you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you about something you're wrestling on, and yeah, it is the Holy Spirit saying, this is the path we're going on. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Or are you going to fight him constantly? Look, the Holy Spirit can be quenched, and the Holy Spirit can be pushed away as we continue to say no and we continue to ignore him. And so can we just become inviters? Invite the Holy Spirit. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak and to move and to live in us and to live through us and empower us to live the life he has called us to live. Let's pray. It is our confession that I believe, it is my confession that I believe in the Holy Spirit. I pray it is our confession as a church that we believe in the Holy Spirit, and that we believe that you are still active and alive, and you are still moving, you are still calling us to yourself, you are still releasing us into a world that needs to hear the gospel message. And I pray for all of us that we would begin to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let us be honest with ourselves with that important question, am I guidable? And if we are not, let us repent. Let us wrestle with the question, will I say yes regardless? And if we cannot say that, then we need to repent. Maybe we need to renew our commitment and understand that when we invited you in, that we made you Lord, that we submitted our lives and our future to you. Holy Spirit, have your way among us. Make yourself known to us. I pray specifically for those who are struggling with a decision right now, that you would enlighten them as to what you are saying. Let them weigh it with godly counsel. Let them weigh it against Scripture, and then let them say yes. Be to each one of us exactly what it is that we need, whatever that looks like in each person's life. Be near to us and empower us as you are in us forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you, Reveal. I look forward to being with you in person someday when you feel comfortable coming back. We will certainly be here. In the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, pursue the things of God, listen for the voice and the leading of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.